How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Joined as we are every Sunday by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to get into today. What a week it was, and what a week is coming up. The WWE announced their new television deal with the USA Network, NBC Universal, and they were so vague about it in the press release that it caused the stock, which a couple of months ago was at $30 a share, to plunge all the way down at one point to under $9 a share. Now, to be fair, before the plunge occurred, the stock had dropped to around the $18 to $19 level, so it wasn't like it dropped immediately from $30 to $9, but that is a big drop. It's got a lot of people talking. The vagueness of the press release got people very worried. Tomorrow, the WWE is scheduled to speak to their investors. They're going to talk to them about what is going on and hopefully please some investors, or at least cause them to stop completely freaking out about this situation. How bad is the situation? We're going to talk about it here on the program today. Is WWE in big trouble? How does this affect every aspect of WWE business? What is going on with the network? What is going on with pay-per-view? We're going to talk a lot about that today. Plus, of course, as always, a lot of wrestling news to discuss, including the ROH War of the Worlds iPay-per-view last night, which was an excellent show. We're going to tell you some fun ways to watch that later on in the program as well. Plus, of course, it was the Bellator show. Tito Ortiz actually won a fight. That's breaking news right there. We're going to talk about that, plus so much more for the next 2 hours. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network. So many different ways to listen to this program. We have already got people ringing in the phones. If you're listening right now, please hang up. We're going to go until the next segment with no phone calls. We'll pick them up when we come back from the break. I'll give out all the phone numbers then as well. But first off, we got some stuff to talk about, including the WWE stock crash. Mike, you didn't own any WWE stock, did you?
Nope. I always talk about the possibility of it, but for several reasons, I have chosen not to, and it wouldn't be a good time. I feel bad for anybody that got sucked into this and bought it at like 25, and then, you know, everything kind of happened the way it happened, and it's been sliding down a little bit. It's not a good time right now for WWE, but they were a victim of their own hype, as well as hype from people that had absolutely no idea of how WWE's business works, hyping up their stock way, way too much.
The announcement that tomorrow the company is going to speak to shareholders is very interesting. Obviously, as you noted, Vince McMahon himself had stated he was asked by an investor last August, specifically asked about doubling rights fees, if that's what should be expected. And Vince McMahon answered, "I will allow you to put me in a hammer lock if we don't." This is not an exact quote, but I could actually go get you the exact quote that Vince McMahon told this individual. In fact, I will do it right now. He was an investor.
Vince didn't offer up a Canadian destroyer or anything, did he?
He didn't offer a Canadian destroyer, but Brad Safalow asked him about doubling the rights fees. I will even read Brad Safalow's exact question. He said, "The last question I had was on some of the comments, Vince, that you made about your television rights fees and what you feel would be an appropriate market to market as far as at least doubling. I just want to be clear that you guys are going to be held to that standard." And Vince's exact quote response was, "I'll allow you to put a hammer lock on me if we don't." Now, I am shocked that the first move that Vince came up with was a hammerlock. That's the big story here. But secondarily here, this is a statement that they expected to double their rights fees. Now, a lot of the expectations have to do with how other sports are doing. There was just a brand new deal signed for Major League Soccer. NASCAR is getting over $800 million a year for their television. WWE was making somewhere around $100 million. And it appears that this deal, we don't know exactly, but it appears this deal is around $160 million. So it's maybe a little more than a 50% increase. It is certainly not double. It is absolutely not triple. And apparently a lot of Wall Street insiders thought there was a good possibility that they would double or triple their rights fees. And I think the big issue here, Mike, is that what I thought and what you thought and what a lot of people in wrestling thought, having followed this for so many years, is that professional wrestling, regardless of what the ad rates or the ratings are, the ad rates are never very good. Pro wrestling does not make a lot of money off advertising. And WWE's cable package brings in about $170 million in advertising. $170 million. So if a Fox, for example, decided that they were going to give them NASCAR money, $800 million, they would be losing over a half a billion dollars on the deal, correct?
Yep.
So the idea that they would double their rights fees, I mean, the only way you're going to double your rights fees is if you find a TV network, a conglomerate, that believes that your ratings are so valuable to them that they will lose money on the deal. And clearly, there was nobody in that boat.
No, and there was really nobody else really in the race, it seems like. We'll find out more about how, you know, who was interested and to what level as things go along. But WWE, in a way, again, they really are victims of all of this speculation that took place because, you know, the deal is really good if you look at it from one point of view. But they've done so much hype over the network. I mean, I don't, when there was talk of $1.5 million, because just look at the pay-per-view buy rates of everything sans WrestleMania and ask yourself, what was the possible? I mean, really, and hindsight should really be 2020 in this, because this one always got me, was how did you ever figure there was going to be 1.5 million people right off the bat to pay for the thing and spend $60? Yes, it's a great value, all of those things to a hardcore wrestling fan, but why were the expectations so high? Where did it come from that WWE was worth triple the amount of money that they were currently getting? Yes, other sports were having that issue, but other sports are a completely different ball game. Sports are looked at as the one and only thing that's DVR proof, even though I know Dave has got numbers to prove that WWE, most of their viewers are watching live. But sports, it's just everything that goes around it, the advertisers who are involved, the demographics at which they're aimed at, it's completely different. And WWE got a pretty damn good deal here. They are home where they really should be with NBC Universal. Nobody is a better fit for them than NBC Universal is. Hey, look at the last deal that they had, or the deal two times ago when they went to the national network, which later on became Spike. I mean, when they had to go back to the USA network, that's when they had to give up their advertising money that they were pulling in. That horse went out of the barn, and they may never get that one back. Why would they? So it's it's too bad, because now, I mean, I don't think before this point you had anybody out there saying we need to call for the heads of everyone who's involved. And WWE has made some moves on the WWE network end of things. You know, some people have left on their own, as well as one person being fired. And now you have people calling for the heads of George Barrios, as well as many other people, so including Vince McMahon himself, if he doesn't know how to run his own business anymore. I mean, even that's coming out now. Nobody expected any of this to happen. And again, when you look at the deal on paper and in the grand scheme of things, the deal itself is not that bad, but this was like a countdown to a lot of bad feelings. And I don't think anyone should be really too surprised, because again, the speculation was so rampant and everything was being pushed so high and being measured against variables that they should have never been measured against.
What do you think are the chances that that Vince McMahon steps down tomorrow? I'd say about 0%.
I'll say what's the biggest negative number? Infinity that I can come up with? That's it right there. Now, this may give him, he likes to fight, and this will give him much more of a reason to fight. But it's, again, it's an attack on them as far as their business acumen. That is, it's never been seen before. So how they come away handling this, which was not very good, on which is again another problem, which we can talk about after the break. But you know how they came across with PR on Thursday didn't do many favors. So I'm sure this weekend there was some long regrouping going on. It'll be interesting to see how they go forward. Tomorrow's going to be a big sign at 9 o'clock or whenever this announcement is.
Do you believe that that someone's head is inevitably going to roll?
Sure. Yeah, somebody in there is going
to
be.
What about George Barrios? I hate to bring him up. I don't want to see anyone lose their job, but he is the guy in Forbes who claimed that they had never made a statement about what they were expecting, even though he was there on the conference call when Vince made his statement.
It's possible. You know, I don't know how their structure works or anything like that, but you know, we can look at a couple of the names and see. I don't necessarily think it would be the CEO quite yet.
It does suck that heads are invariably going to roll tomorrow, because this is no one person's problem. There are a lot of different problems here, and for any one person to get the axe, it's just their scapegoat. I mean, this is what happens, but it just doesn't seem right. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, a lot more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the American Forces Network, the cable radio network, and so much more. Some fella or lady has been calling for 25 minutes despite my requests not to call, and the moment the phone lines open, they stopped calling.
Maybe it's George Barrios.
Let's see if this person picks up. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Andrew Parker from Houston, Texas.
Andrew, what's going on?
Yes, I was wondering, do you think there's much of a likelihood that ROH talent would be wrestling in New Japan soon, considering the awesome ROH New Japan War of the Worlds show that happened last night?
I would expect that some of them will end up going over there. I mean, AJ Styles is already there. He wasn't really an ROH talent, but he was working on ROH shows. And Mike, what do you think? Who's going to New Japan?
Oh, Michael Elgin, I could see doing something in New Japan. The Briscoes, I could see going over there. I don't know how expansive the deal is or anything like that, but those names for sure. Jay Lethal, I could see over there. It's again, even if it's just wrestling in junior heavyweight matches or something like that, I just don't know to the level of the crossover is going to be outside of AJ Styles. So I guess everything's to be determined.
All right. Yeah. Cause I was thinking after that show last night, some of the ROH guys really showed that they can hang with the New Japan guys. And I'd love to see them in New Japan to really show what they can do.
Oh yeah. Fish and O'Reilly. I mean, you know, Bobby Fish used to go over and wrestle for Pro Wrestling Noah. And, you know, I think they showed last night against the Young Bucks. I mean, they can do an incredible athletic spot fest, and obviously, you know, they can work the, you know, of anybody probably on that roster outside of some of the more veteran guys. I mean, of the newer blood of Ring of Honor, the guys that could go over there and fit right in right away. There are two of them that could absolutely do it.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for the insight. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Dan Hernandez from Dallas, Texas.
Dan, what's up?
Yeah, I want to talk about the ROH World Worlds yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I feel there were four incredible matches, you know, the TV title match, the Young Bucks match, the Nakamura match, the main event. It completely blew away the Border Wars card from last week. You know, But my question is, what's your opinion on the crowd of that event? Because I'm falling in line with some of the talk that's going on that, like, even though, because in New York, you know, they don't have ROH TV. So, like, they're saying like a large portion of the crowd, they weren't really familiar with any of the wrestlers. Like, they heard, like, oh, New Japan. They heard about, oh, Nakamura or so-and-so wrestler from ROH. So, like, they weren't really into the spots that if you watch New Japan or Ring of Honor, you really got into and probably dragged down some matches, like Tanahashi match or the Briscoes versus the Bullet Club. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's funny. I got somebody on Twitter that says here that he is infuriated. He says, you guys are so wrong about the New York City crowd. I'm infuriated listening to your recap from being there live. All I know is that when I watch a show...
Talking about you and Dave from last night.
Yes. When I listen to a show and, like, sometimes the crowd, I can hear them going absolutely wild. And then at other times, I really don't hear them at all. I'm skeptical that it is crowd miking, because when they are going crazy, I hear them just fine. So what's happening? Are the mics being turned off at other points during the show? I don't think so. I think that, and again, when you go to a show, especially a show where there's 2,000 people there, depending on where you are in the building, what the crowd is like around you, you may have a completely different belief about how the crowd is as compared to someone who is sitting in a completely different area in the building. If a crowd is largely dead, but you happen to be surrounded by crazy rowdies, then it's going to seem like a much more hyped up, excited crowd than maybe it really is. Now, I'm not taking anything away from ROH. This is not ROH's fault. If I'm blaming anybody, it's the crowd. And the crowd at times was awesome last night. I'm not taking anything away from them, but the Toronto crowd was better, I thought. I wasn't at either show, but don't get mad at me because at points during the show, it sounded like nobody was making any noise.
Well, the thing is, though, and I understand what you're saying. I think the Toronto crowd was rowdier, but you could tell, though, at times it was very quiet for the amount of reaction that looked like it was taking place in the places where there was a camera. You know, you could see the fans in the background cheering, and it seems to be from almost everybody that's gone there, they're saying the same thing where it's like, you know, it didn't come across represented. Now, I don't think as a whole, though, you're exactly right. Toronto was a better, it's seemingly more lively, rowdier crowd. But again, it just seems to be from there a lot from the people there that it, again, they it was at least louder than it came across on TV.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Very much appreciate
it. You know what?
If he sounded very demoralizer at the end.
Calls next, we'll have three straight people from Texas.
I'm just surprised that everyone is calling. They don't care about Daniel Bryan's neck injury. They don't care about WWE finances. All they care about is Ring of Honor. Let's see what this person has to say. You're on the air. Nope, you're not on the air. Well, that broke the streak right there. You know, I want to do a quick plug here. If you go to f4wlive.com, you can scroll down a little bit and you can see our sponsor here, the Google Chromecast. If you are somebody who has been watching your Ring of Honor and WWE Network on the computer, here is a very low-cost option for you. The Chromecast is only $35, and you plug it into your television. If you've got a television that has an HDMI slot, which a lot of the new televisions do, you plug it in there. And basically, anything that you've got on your computer screen, you can stream to your television. So if you're somebody that does not have an Apple TV, you don't have a Roku, maybe you've got some limited finances, $35 for a Chromecast. Now, there is not a WWE app on the Chromecast. Just so everybody knows, there are a ton of different apps on there. If you've got Netflix, Hulu, all of those can be streamed to your television. But if you don't... If you're getting WWE Network and you have no other way to get into the television, the Chromecast will do it for you. As noted, it's $35. You can check it out at f4wlive.com. Just scroll down, click on it. All of the details about how to use it, how it works, and all of that are up there. And certainly, if you were watching the ROHI pay-per-view on your computer last night, trust me, I streamed it to my television. It looked a lot better on my TV. So check out
another cool thing about it is too, Brian, there are things, and I know you found this out with the USA Network on Monday. There's lots of different variables when it comes to watching TV online anywhere or watching on your computer or your mobile device. I have an Apple TV, and I also have Comcast Internet service, and Comcast has got this Go channel where I can't actually, what I'm watching on my tablet, I can't, or my phone, I cannot transfer that and put it on the TV because they've got some sort of licensing block with it. Whereas with Chromecast, I found if I'm streaming the Comcast stuff, the Chromecast will pick it up and put it on TV, which I thought was cool.
Well, there you go. Check it out, f4wlive.com. The Chromecast, all the information is up there. It's only $35, so check it out. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Brian, this is Chris in Las Vegas.
What's up, Chris?
Sir, we need to continue our Daniel Bryan saga, which, again, he was made fun of and buried again on the TV show. But, Vincent McMahon, I need you to listen up. All you and your investors need to listen up and listen real good. People like me, I've been following your company since I was a baby. My parents took me in diapers to the AWA at the Showboat, watching the matches, all the way to the WWE. I was once a proud tape trader. I don't need your WWE network. I need you to sell me on your WWE network. And if you want to go ahead and bury people like Brian and stuff that we cheer for and that we want, you go right ahead. And you want to talk about death? Vince McMahon, we need you. We need pro wrestling in our lives. When I come on and I turn the TV on every Monday night, I want to see the people that I cheer for, the people I pay for, the people I spend my money for when I watch WrestleMania and every other year's stupid pay-per-views. Give me what I want or your company, and you're going to have more problems with your investors than you could ever think of. Thank you.
A very passionate rant. Thank you very much for calling. That's your average fan. He's upset about the network. Let me tell you something. I am not one to say I told you so, but listen, I ranted months ago that when this network kicks off and all of these pay-per-views get put on the network, they got to make these pay-per-views into big-time events. They cannot sit on their laurels and just presume that everybody has got the network, they're going to watch the pay-per-views, they don't need to go, nothing like that. They got to go out there and they got to make these pay-per-views big events. Because you know why people are buying this network? It's for the pay-per-views. Above the 125,000 or however that are getting it for the old the libraries and such. Most of the people, if you want to do 1.3 million subscribers to the WWE network, if you want to do 2 million, these people are going to get the network because they want to watch the pay-per-view events. So this company needs to do everything in their power to make these special events, these pay-per-views, into big-time important events. Because otherwise, I don't know. They've got, obviously, I think they've probably got about 700,000 subscribers right now. They had 667. The number is going to go up. It's not going to go down because people can't cancel until the end of the 6 months is over. But listen to me. If they don't get 6 months worth of great pay-per-views on this WWE network and great specials and television, these people aren't going to renew. It's like a toy, this network. We'll talk about this more when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elber is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We got daily news updates and, yes, daily radio shows. Usually two shows every single day, available only for subscribers, immediately on demand the moment the show wraps up. Our full on-demand library of radio shows features over 5,000 shows dating back to 2005. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Everybody from Ric Flair to Bret Hart, Bruno Sammartino, Chris Jericho, Lance Storm. The list goes on and on. All of this available for as low as $9.99 a month. If you sign up month to month, it's $10.99. With that, you not only get all of the brand new shows, you get the full archive, every show dating back to 2005, plus Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, and so much more. So head up there and check it out. If you like this show, if you like WrestlingObserver.com and you only hear it once a week, you are missing out. You'll be hearing radio every single day. You will never run out. You will never not have wrestling and mixed martial arts audio to listen to as a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. We got a free live stream up at f4wlive.com. Head up there and check that out. We have free sample shows up on the front page at WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of ways to try it out. Give it a shot. Sign up. I guarantee you'll be with us for the long haul. Mike, any thoughts on the very passionate caller which we just featured on this program?
No, I'm just still trying to actually think about how many people are going to get fired. And if one happens tomorrow, and if with this WWE Network announcement, if they actually say if they've increased their subscriber base or not. Just interesting to see what's going to happen. A big Monday for WWE. And, you know, it's what's forgotten about in that sometimes all of this talk is the TV show, which he's not wrong. Daniel Bryan was basically, you know, castrated going out there with Kane and being pile driven so many times the night after the pay-per-view with the bad acting and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it wasn't the best thing in the world here. And how he's been portrayed and whether he's again, I didn't like that at all. Monday's going to be interesting for that too, because it seems that he got through his surgery. We haven't heard any really, you know, bad marks about it or anything like that. So not sure when exactly he is going to be back, but it's, you know, probably be out for about 2 months, but what they're going to do with the title is very interesting, and what they do going forward here with lots of guys, because they need to make their Barretts and their Sheamuses and their, you know, it should be guys like Ziggler too, but probably it won't be, but they need to strengthen some of these other guys that they have, because it shows how little depth they have. When you take away the icing of having Batista and Triple H there, and realistically they're not, you know, going forward, and the Shield together as a group and the whole nine yards, they don't have a whole lot of depth, and they need to make stars, and they need to take better care of the guys they do have, many of which happen to be favorites of people who listen to this show and are the most hardcore of hardcore fans.
You know, the surgery on Daniel Bryan's neck, which took place a couple of days ago, it was said to be a success. That is good. What that means, we don't know. It is expected he'll be back soon. It is expected they will not strip him of the title, but it's probably going to be a little while before we know for sure. There's supposed to be an announcement tomorrow. Daniel Bryan, as noted, is probably going to be appearing via satellite on the program. He's not obviously going to be there live. Probably a satellite interview from his house. He is at home. He says he is stuck in bed, according to his Twitter. He finally gets a chance to watch Total Divas live at 9, he says. Interested to see how Brie behaves at her bachelorette party. And then he smiles. I'll bet he's in for a surprise on that show. Have you had a chance to watch Total Divas lately, Mike?
No, I have not. Although, if you ever happen to be traveling somewhere, Brian, on a Sunday night, you can watch that show via USA on
really?
Your app there.
USA?
Yes.
You mean E?
Yes.
Okay. I'll give that a shot next time I'm traveling on a... Actually, you know what? I was traveling.
I'm sure the people you're traveling with will really, really enjoy that and really thank you for it.
I travel, Mike, with my wife, and as a woman, she is intrigued by Total Divas. They've got a gigantic women's audience. That's all the only people to watch that show, except for me and Vinny. Literally the only men who watch this show are Vinny and I.
Well, you're getting paid to do it.
Kind of.
Well, you're doing it for the enjoyment of it, Brian, really?
It's part of a job I'm paid for, but I'm not paid to watch. That's what people need to understand. I'm not paid to watch Total Divas. It's part of a job that I am paid for. It's a big difference, I think.
I guess so, but if you were going to trim some of the fat or something like that, I'm sure somebody could argue, hey, Brian, why are you not watching, let's say, Dragon Gate or something like that? You're spending your time with the Total Divas and the Camerons and the Naomis and the Natalya paintings, which make her all sad, and now we need to have a be-a-star moment on Raw.
We're talking Total Divas, so this caller has to be Jim in Virginia. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ken, calling from Cranford, New Jersey.
Oh, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
I had a question. I wanted your opinion on something. I got the WrestleMania pay-per-view on TV, like, you know, live, not, you know, through the network. And they didn't show the pre-show match. And they used to always show that, which is why I wanted to get it. And I guess now you have to get it on the network. So I called the cable company, kind of complained to them. They said it has to do with WWE. You have to talk to them. And, you know, I've been trying to call WWE, tried to email them, and they won't get back in touch with me. And I'm pretty annoyed because that was part of the reason I wanted to get it. I want to see that match. So, you know, like, in your opinion, is there anything I do about it at this point? Because it's kind of the reason I'm not getting network yet, because I feel like WWE, in some extent, isn't taking care of their fans who have issues by not even trying to call me back or email me back or contact me about the situation.
Well, I think the problem is they've probably got a lot of people calling. And so I don't think you're going to get a call back. I could be wrong.
Well, I think another thing to do with it, too, and I noticed this with my cable providers over the years, they used to always have like that free preview on where they would, you know, kind of be live there and they'd have the match and everything. And then they started moving towards that half hour barker that they would have on there. And I noticed it had nothing to do with WWE. It was the cable company's decision when I guess it came time to, you know, airing one or the other. They would just air the barker. So I would always miss out on, you know, any of those. It was a Comcast thing in most cases for me. So I don't know sometimes how much WWE has to do with that. But I would suggest getting the network if you can, because WWE at least is one of those things that you can actually get up on the TV screen and get it that way.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know that for a while you used to not get the pre-show. I know starting SummerSlam last year is when they started showing the pre-show match. So you're right. They used to do the half an hour of just the previews of the main, you know, card, and then they switched it, and now they switched it back. But I think it's WWE isn't showing it because it's not even on YouTube. I think it's just on the network. But I just want your opinion if it's worth to keep fighting with WWE. But I just think it's, to me, not calling their fans back or trying to, you know, help their fans. In one way, they are sure with the network, but not everyone wants a network. They want to watch the pay-per-views traditionally, and now they're making it where it's not as good to do because you're not getting that extra match. So I just want your guys' opinion.
All right. Well,
I agree with that. And I do agree with that in a lot of ways, too, considering that they're using this thing to set up the pay-per-views or have some sort of tie-in, and they want a reason for people to watch a network. To break that out every once in a while, or not even once in a while, but once a month, I don't think it would hurt. It really hurts anything by making it so exclusive that people who are paying, you know, $50 legit a month to watch these shows because they won't get the network. I mean, go ahead and give it to them. At least try to bait them into getting the network.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm John from New York.
John, what's up?
Just want to tell you, I am another male who religiously watches Total Divas every Sunday. And not only have I gotten my fiance interested in wrestling, but now she reminds me to watch Legends House and Raw and SmackDown and NXT. And due to Total Divas, she is now an avid wrestling fan. So
wow. You know, that was a big question, whether E would create new wrestling fans. And I know that we tracked the Raw women's viewership, and it really has not changed. That doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that nobody is being converted, but I think that people like your significant other, so to speak, are in the minority. I don't think they're converting a lot of viewers into new wrestling fans, but clearly, as you've noted, they are converting some of them.
And women seem to always like the dramas, because remember, things that have to do with Rey Mysterio, like Mysterio and Punk and his kids, or Mysterio and Eddie and his kid, or the Undertaker Vince Ministry teddy bear crying storyline and all that sort of stuff. I mean, when there's high drama, it seems to be it always will be something that attracts female viewers.
What does she think
Total
about
Divas
this?
Divas has got drama.
That is true. What does she think about this Daniel Bryan, Kane, Brie Bella storyline?
To be honest with you, she's new to wrestling, so it's like she didn't see anything in the past with Kane. So to her, it's all, you know, it's new. So she can't really hate on it because it's new. So it's interesting to her. To me, it's like, oh, same old, you know, same old stuff.
Same old stuff we've seen 10,000 times, yeah. Interesting. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call and enjoy Total Divas tonight. I know I will.
Do we have a preview of that show?
Oh, man, I bet we do. Now I just got excited at the possibility of what could be on Total Divas tonight. Hold on, my friend. Let's see what we have got. We've got the episode preview here. What is today? May 18th?
It is indeed.
The group travels to Mexico, where Eva has a hard time being sober, and Nikki reveals a secret. I already know what the secret is. They spoiled it last week.
Well, and I saw the preview with Eva Marie, too, being in recovery and being so tempted in Mexico.
Nikki, unless I completely have lost my mind, Nikki revealed that she had been married in the past, correct?
I thought that was the case, yes.
My God. I never knew.
Hey.
I never knew that that Jon Uso had two kids till last week.
And that fungus on his toes, I didn't realize that till watching Total Divas.
Well, you know, a little bit of, what's that stuff called that you spray on your foot?
Like the Tenacrin or something
like that? Yeah, it'll solve that problem. All right, to the phones, we only got a couple of moments. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ryan, this is Drew from Des Moines. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Drew?
Not much. For tomorrow's meeting, I just want to know if you guys think there's a chance that Vince will lose any true power with the company. And do you think they may regret now going public after getting bought, some of the stocks were bought by the investment company, Lemel Center. I can't remember the name. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. I don't think anything's going to happen to Vince, but I do believe that heads will roll. Whenever people say, does WWE regret going public, no. you gotta think about, Vince McMahon became a billionaire because he went public. Vince McMahon pockets millions and millions of dollars every single quarter, personally, into his personal bank account because they went public. You know, yeah, they would be able to hide things better. They would be able to, a lot of things would change if they went private. There's a lot of information that they would not have to reveal to the public, but my God, would they be worth a lot less if they had stayed private. So I don't think they regret it for a moment, although they think that they're not happy today. We're back in just a moment. We'll get Mike's thoughts. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here is Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out on the Cable Radio Network, the American Forces Network, and more. And Mike, before the break, we were, what were we discussing before the break? I was going to ask your thoughts on something, and I've completely forgotten. I've lost my train of thought.
It wasn't important.
It wasn't important. So tomorrow, everybody, it is the update on Daniel Bryan. He underwent neck surgery. There was a nerve issue. It was, he was in and out. They had photos of him in the hospital bed, sitting up, giving a thumbs up. He will not be back in action for a while. I do know from talking to people in WWE that they are, even though the company, actually it's not even really the company, it's you know, they haven't said this publicly, but privately, they're saying that it's minor surgery. He will be back in action maybe before you know it. And that is not a tease that he's going to be back tomorrow, because he's not. But maybe before you know it, he's going to be back. But I did talk to people who were concerned. I know there are some people who think that the surgery was perhaps more serious than is being led on. I know there are some people that believe that even if he's fine, he still is working a style where he has suffered a lot of concussions. He's taken a lot of hard bumps. And he's beaten his body up over the years, a lot prior to coming to WWE. And there is a feeling that when he comes back, one way or another, he's probably going to have to switch up his style a little bit. Maybe less topes headfirst into the dasher boards. Maybe fewer diving headbutts, although I don't think the diving headbutt is the main issue, although some people do. But there will probably be a change when he returns. We're going to talk a lot more about this when we come back after the top of the hour. We'll take your phone calls as well, 855-478-4478. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget to check us out on the Cable Radio Network, the American Forces Network. And earlier in the show, I was plugging the Google Chromecast, which you can check out at f4wlive.com. It's only $35. You can stream from your computer to your television. And I bring that up because another way that you can listen to this program, if you're listening to it on your computer and you've got a Google Chromecast, you can plug that Chromecast into your television and stream our show to your TV speakers. What in God's name could be cooler than that? Check out the Chromecast up at F4WLive.com. Help support the show. Now, I should mention that somebody from WWE called, actually emailed me during the commercial break regarding a caller earlier in the program. And they say here that WWE is not going to answer that fan's call. They get way too many calls. The story is that the pre-show is made exclusive for the network, and it is made clear that the pre-shows are exclusive to the network, and so they will no longer be on the Barker channel. It is, in fact, a WWE decision. It is a way, I guess, to push the network. And, I mean, with DirecTV and Dish Network dropping the pay-per-views anyway, I mean, really, it is a... To me, I think that it should be free because it is a pre-show. I mean, you are advertising the upcoming pay-per-view. I mean, you want to get people that maybe it's in-demand, whatever the main cable pay-per-view provider is. I mean, it should be, you should have a free pre-show to try to convince people to plunk down the money for the pay-per-view. It does no good to have to pay to see a pre-show, but that's the way they're doing it. So that's the way they are doing it. That is the update there.
We still pay to see the pre-show anyway because they show all of those video packages during the special event / pay-per-view anyway.
That's right. Back in just a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Semper, VV, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. Check out Sirius Satellite Radio Sport Zone on the Sirius Satellite Radio app. Tune in radio app as well, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show anywhere in the world. Got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. If you want to give us a call, the phone number 855-478-4478, toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. You can also contact me on Twitter. My Twitter handle, is that what it's called? @ Brian Alvarez. Use the hashtag F4WLive as well. And we will discuss all of your questions and comments here on the show. Mike, what did you think of ROH War of the Worlds last night?
I thought it was really good. We talked about the crowd earlier on, but, you know, as far as the show itself, I had a blast with it. Adam Cole and Jushin Liger, it's just all those guys from New Japan that came over. Nakamura and Steen was really good. Talked about a little bit earlier on. The Young Bucks and Red Dragon with Filthy Tom Lawler at ringside was one of those matches that makes old school, hardcore, you know, old wrestlers go crazy because it was just a lot of spots, but it was a lot of really cool spots. It was a really fast-paced, exciting. I thought that was really excellent in the standout show of the night. Cole and Liger was really good as well, too. A little bit of a surprise finish there. Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shinsuke Nakamura, anytime you have a chance to see either one of those guys, it's great. And I think, you know, Tanahashi Bennett was good, but Nakamura and Steen, I thought, was excellent. A little disappointing, the Briscoes, Anderson Gallows match. That was the one I was looking forward to the most. And, you know, through no fault of its own, it wasn't even close to being the best match out on the show, although it was really good. And then the other one of note for me is even more than the IWGP title three-way was the TV title match between Jay Lethal and Kushida, which I thought was, again, really, really excellent and fun, too. And it only went like 12 minutes, but it felt like it went longer than that. And I mean, in a good way. I thought they worked really, really great together, which is one of the reasons that I would like to see Jay Lethal. If they were going to do guys going back and forth, I'd really like to see Jay Lethal for a little while over in New Japan, you know, wrestling a couple of different guys. I think it could be really fun.
You know, I remember when the show was over last night, I thought to myself, I think I liked last week's show better. And then I woke up this morning and I'm kind of sitting here doing this show now and I'm thinking, you know, I may have liked last night's show better. So they were both excellent shows. I mean, they were great. If you've not been watching Ring of Honor, I mean, these pay-per-views were cheap. I think they were $14.95. I mean, it's 3.5 hours of great action. Both of these shows are up on Ustream right now. We're going to talk about this more in a second. I got a lot to say, but to the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's a Scarlet Lover from Colorado Springs.
What's up, Scarlet?
Not too much. I'm working on the website, so.
Great. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Sorry. I guess I'm just calling in to say I think I've lost my smile with wrestling.
Really? Not enough redheads?
Basically, yeah.
You should be watching. Hey, listen, everyone? I just plugged Ring of Honor. There's like three redheads in one promotion. You should be watching this.
Veda Scott and Scarlett Bordeaux, which, by the way, again, Scarlett Bordeaux, one of the greatest names in wrestling today. Fantastic
greatest,
name.
Greatest everything. You don't know what you're missing.
I want to say something quick because you gave me that homework and I actually went ahead and checked out. Listen, everybody, go to ROH.TV, I believe it is. They have free television shows. Watch the television shows. See that. Oh, Scarlett is awesome. I'm not going to speak on her too much because people think I'm like just for this
kind of a weirdo
redhead. Yeah, but it's for all the redheads. So instead of being a weirdo for one, I'm a lover for all. Listen, go watch this, and then after you're done, sign up for Brian's website and radio shows because he just brought a Scarlet Starlet that's not just one star and a beautiful night sky, but a whole constellation. Go see her.
Wow.
Hey, Brian, have a great time.
Wow.
So there's my little promo.
A Scarlet Starlet, he said.
Fantastic.
Scarlet Starlet. That's what redheads are, beauties.
Man.
It's a whole gimmick, but I'll save all that for another day. I want to talk about the WWE Network, basically. I heard that Vince McMahon lost $350 million, and linking myself to that, I think I'm understanding a little bit why, because ever since Comcast and the Battleground Gate with the refunds and all that, I've been struggling for employment, and I had that WWE Network subscription, and it became time to either renew, pay, or let it go. And I let it go, and I didn't look back on it. So I don't know. I don't even see the point in having it anymore. And when I did have it, I watched the pay-per-views that came out. And, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm just down on wrestling because I
didn't
use it that
much. Did you say that you canceled? How did you cancel the WWE Network?
Just basically didn't pay them.
It's one way to do it, I guess. So you're not into it anymore. It was a toy that is no longer being played with?
Basically.
What? Hold on.
I watched.
What could they do? Let's just say that you had gone the 6 months and you decided you're not going to renew. What could they do to bring you back into the fold, besides more
Hire
redheads.
Scarlett Bordeaux.
I was going to say, not counting more redheads. What would bring you back into the fold?
Honestly, and this is going to sound a little weird, maybe off the regular.
No
pace,
weirder than anything else we talked about today. But go ahead.
I think that they need to put more creativeness into how they present the WWE Network once you have it. I mean, we have new shows like WWE Countdown and WrestleMania Rewind, but that's about it. When you turn on the actual network and you just watch what they provide, all it is just, here's a 3-hour pay-per-view and then we're going to do it back. We're going to air it again back to back. Why not take the time? And I've seen this from time to time on there, but not so much. You know, you have an archive besides pro wrestling shows of like little interviews and stuff like that. Why don't you take people back? You know, let's take a 15-minute interview from Raw or a segment from Raw from 2006, put it on there, have weeks for certain wrestlers, you know, stuff like that. I think that they could really not only streamline, because there's a lot missing from a media player content that they have, but be more creative with what you present and present more than just wrestling shows. I mean, I can go on and watch, you know, Punk versus Cena from that Money in the Bank and be like, oh, this is a great wrestling show, but after I've gone through and watched all the matches, I mean, there's so much more that they could be advertising, and they're not. So I just feel like it's a, okay, here you go. Here's all the content. And it does what it's supposed to do, but it could be so much more than that.
Well, Scarlett, I want to thank you very much for the call. I got to say that I've been gone for a week. I went to the Grand Canyon. I have not had the WWE Network on for 7 days, and it's not even on right now. I used to always have it on in the background. I don't even know why I don't have it on. I guess I could turn it on right now. But, I mean, what am I turning it on for? You know what I mean? I'm not burying the WWE Network. I still think it's a great concept. I'm not going to cancel it or anything like that. But during WrestleMania week, it was, like, really cool. There was all sorts of cool stuff on there. There was programming. There was the Warrior documentary after he unfortunately passed away. And a guy doesn't have to pass away to do a documentary on him. I mean, there's so much stuff that you could put on this network. I mean, I don't even think they've ever a single time. I've actually never even used it. I don't know how well it works. But there is a search feature there. I mean, you can go and, like, search Daniel Bryan, and presumably, like, all this Daniel Bryan stuff will come up. How come this has never been promoted on television? Why can't I watch primetime wrestling? I know the answer, because a lot of this stuff has to be digitized. They've got to go through and have things blurred out. They've got to get music rights or dub over music or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of, they can't just put tapes on the air. I mean, there's a lot that goes into digitizing this content for broadcast here on the network. But I mean, why can't I watch primetime? Why can't I watch Nitro? Why can't I watch Thunder? I mean, there's so much stuff that I should be able to get on this network, and they better get a lot of it on prior to this 6 months being up. We're going to talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, TuneIn Radio's app. We're available on there as well. And Mike, we were just talking before the break about the WWE Network. Are you watching it as religiously as you did when you first procured it?
Yeah, I'll still throw it on the background. Surprised to see that you have turned away from it.
I haven't turned. I got it on right now, for crying out loud. I just, you know.
It's one of the things that I'm surprised they didn't do, although the amount of money that they were saying they were throwing into it and the whole nine yards was doing, as dumb as this sounds, like licensing deals with, like, you know, Monopoly and things like that. I look at, you know, the Hub Network, which if WWE, if they were being courted by Discovery and you were kind of looking at it on paper, if they were going to bring back Saturday Morning Slam or something like that, they would probably put it on the Hub Network. And, you know, they have a show on there called Family Game Night where they use games from everything that Hasbro makes, because it's a deal between Hasbro and Discovery that they create the chair and crane programming like that, that would keep somebody coming in every single night. They've talked about doing a Sports Center type of deal. I guess that would basically be an extension of what they're currently doing now with the pre-shows and having a daily show and things like that. But I think they need to keep the average wrestling fan that they say that they were going to get. Remember, they're saying they 2 million people, you know, upwards of 3 million people. If you're doing that, you're getting a far more casual wrestling fan. You've convinced them to buy the network. What are you going to do to keep them coming back every day? Because it's great that you've added Clash of the Champions, and I will put on a Clash of the Champions from 1989, and I'll enjoy it greatly because it's got the great mood on there. But my son won't necessarily care about seeing, you know, him and Eddie Gilbert or something like that. It just doesn't resonate to him. It won't make my wife, you know, turn it on and see what's going on. But, you know, shows like that, game shows, just, again, more original programming, even if it's cheaply done, which I guess they're going to have to do now with the amount of money that they are not making in some aspects. But doing more things like that, because all the stuff they have on there is great. They still need to add a ton more for the hardcore old wrestling fan. Because a lot of the stuff, if you're getting those viewers, you're not giving them Mid-Atlantic and Georgia and world class. You're giving them world class, but all the other promotions that you've owned outside of ECW and world class, you're not showing those off. So give those people a reason, you know, have documentaries like The Warrior and things like that. They have all of those DVDs. Look, if you have a DVD that's not gone out of print or anything like that, but is really, really old, like, say, the ECW documentary. Actually, that one sold too well. Take a little bit of a lesser one, the cage match one or something like that. Put that on there. Have a night, you know, where it's themed out when you don't have NXT or something like that on, where you can theme out the night with old Mid-Atlantics or something. And again, with some of these other shows and original programming, give people a reason to come back every single day and not necessarily just have it on as background music.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Jim from Virginia.
Jim, what's going on?
Hey, man. You know, I've been listening to the show, and you have not mentioned TNA not one time.
I was fixing to, but we got distracted by calls, coincidentally.
Okay, I was just going to ask, I was just thinking, you know, with Taryn coming back, why not put her as a third member of the Beautiful People?
You could.
Too beautiful.
Do we need... Oh, Mike, come on now. Do we need a third member of the Beautiful People?
I don't know, but I was just thinking.
Sure. Hey, you could do it if you wanted to. She, you know what, though? She was a great babyface.
And oh, yes, she was.
I don't... I think that she... They got... They can run with that for a while before they switch her over.
Yeah.
That was one of the more underrated things of last year. I mean, not... You know, there's lots of things that were far more underrated than this, but... That Taryn Terrell, Gail Kim thing, they stayed out of whoever was producing that and letting that goes on its way. And they did a great job with that. And it really showed. Gail Kim worked her ass off. She had a couple things last year where she did, but her and Taryn Terrell, and especially that one match, it was like the hardcore match with like everything you could expect that could possibly go wrong didn't. And it actually ended up being really good and really fun. And then they got into all that issues with the money and everything else. And then, you know, by the end of summer, they were, you know, the depletions were starting to come, not as bad as they that happened in the fall and the winter, but that was a really, really cool thing. Even if it was just for a really short period of time, and she's certainly not going to be cheerleader Melissa or anything like that. But if she can even do what she was doing there with Gail Kim on the slightest degree, that would actually be pretty cool.
One other question, Mike. Talking about the WWE. Why do you think that WWE has never ever even thought? I guess they may have thought about doing it. Never thought about putting Sarah Del Rey on a show.
Good question. You know what? I would, even if you to me, you don't make fun of her. You have Natty to do that with. You know, I would just have Sarah Del Rey there as just. I don't want to say as just a guy or anything like that, or just a girl, but, you know, have her on there because she can make everybody else look really, really good. And even if you had no plans for her, with the lack of experience on that roster, I mean, just having Paige in the mix because of her experience and her pedigree makes the division better. When you have Natalya out there as a little bit serious, she makes all these other girls who are not wrestlers look better. And, you know, Nikki Bella has shown that little bitty flashes here and there. Brie Bella has shown flashes. Alicia Fox has. You know, the better you have Sarah Del Rey there, even if she's losing to them, because at least they'll get better and learn something. And it doesn't hurt to have a person like that on there and to actually utilize them. And I guess, you know, the reaction would be, well, we already have Natalya there and she can do those sorts of things. And that's how we utilize her. But the more, the better. If you're going to have all these women on there, at least give them something to work with here a little bit.
Now, I have been requested, Jim, to ask you a question. Are you prepared?
Riz Elvey.
What do you think of Trina Michaels?
Now, I'm a little vague now. Who is that? I mean, you know, I'm...
She's a former adult film star who is now working for a number of different promotions, including Dragon Gate USA.
Be honest with you, Brian, I don't think I've ever seen her work a match.
Really? Well, Google her. Make sure you Google on...
Yeah, be careful, because you'll see her work
YouTube,
some other stuff as
on
well.
On YouTube, Jim. On YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I go and check it out. One other last thing. What is CM Punk's current standing with WWE?
Persona non grata.
That's what I was thinking. I hope that's not the way they feel about AJ, though.
Well, no, she's not persona non grata. But I don't know if you'll see her back anytime soon.
All right. Y'all have a good week.
Thanks so much for the call. I'm glad I turned the network on. Alexa Bliss is on.
Nice. I got to turn the network on.
It's my lucky day. I believe it is it's her and Charlotte. I guess it's next in the tournament.
Even better, because two different sides of the same coin there as far as a future. They're going to do it in different ways, and obviously different pedigrees in the whole nine yards. But you look at the athleticism of those two, and, you know, really, it can't be said enough on Lexi Bell's end as far as the fitness and the gymnastics, how important that is, and Charlotte's just overall raw potential. It's not overhyped to say that there's some positivity. And again, them working with Sarah Del Rey in Florida, there's where the reasoning of not putting Sarah Del Rey out there is because she can do more, I guess, in a lot of ways and be more valuable, just like William Regal being down there in Florida, working with women who have raw potential like that.
I know what Filthy Tom's doing right now during this match.
Oh, that could be
taking notes is what he's doing. He's taking notes.
Really? Okay. That's one of many things he could be doing.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
John from Arkansas.
John, what's happening?
I actually do know of Trina Michaels.
Oh, really? What do you think of her work?
Well, you know, you give her a microphone, she can really do great stuff with a microphone. I mean, she's really good as far as speaking stuff, and she kind of is a throwback with her old school heel type. She mentioned that she, in a conversation I had with her on another show, she mentioned she was inspired a little bit by Sherry Martel. And you can see some of those elements when she starts to try to cut promos. You can definitely see that inspiration is there.
Well, that's a good person to be influenced by.
Excellent choice. And, you know, if you want to play the heel route, I can't think of a better person to try to emulate because Sherry was so marvelous at doing that.
What do you think about Trina's facials?
Mike, must we?
Her facial expressions. Have you seen Dragon Gate USA and see her working with Larry Dallas?
Go on, caller.
No, I have not seen that yet. Actually, I have not really ever tried to buy an iPay-per-view after years ago with some of the Go Fight Live fiascos. I think I need to give it another chance because I hear there's several great little iPay-per-views, and I've thought about trying the New Japan thing, too. New Japan's one of my favorite things to read about in The Observer, and there are just so many great, great guys over there that
actually,
I like.
Actually, hold that thought. We got to go to a break. We'll hold you over the break here. We'll back in a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Let's go back to the phones. Caller, you are back on the air. What's going on?
All right. We had been discussing the iPay-per-view thing. I've not ever tried it, but I'm definitely willing to give it a try, especially because I'd like to see some of New Japan. I also had a question for you regarding Japanese talent Seiyu Sanada. Since he is not going to be in TNA, do you think any other group would have any interest in him?
Go ahead, Mike. Sanada.
Yes and no. I mean, he's a talented guy, and it would be fun to see him in Ring of Honor and in places like that. I just don't think it's not like he's going to be high on anybody's list, though, compared to anybody. I mean, I don't know why he'd want to stay over here. I mean, WWE, they signed Kenta, and it's not, they have Yoshitatsu there. I mean, you could do cool matches with him and Neville and guys like that, and he could have cool matches in ROH with guys like Lethal, but he's going to go back to Japan and work over there. I just don't see, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, and I don't see a reason that an American company would want to spend the money to keep him here, and I'm not sure that there could be enough money that would keep him here.
Well, caller, I want to thank you very much for the call. One thing to note is that one guy that WWE was interested in was Kazuchika Okada. Why? Young and tall. That's pretty much all you need to know right there.
the guy, and you know, you have to be somewhat unique. And again, look at WWE's track record where guys, we'll see it with Kenta here too, of, you know, they signed Yoshitatsu. They want to have a star everywhere. It's a great in theory thing, but you know, since Tatsu, they haven't had another one happen yet.
For the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. Daily radio shows. If you only hear Wrestling Observer Live once a week, you are missing out. Every single day I do audio up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check out our full archive as a subscriber. Over 5,000 radio shows dating back to 2005. Some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Bruno Sammartino, Lance Storm, Chris Jericho. The list goes on and on. So many big names interviewed on the website, all in the archives. And as a subscriber, you also get the brand new shows. Every morning you wake up, new audio. You can listen to the audio on your way to the gym. You can listen to your audio wherever you go, wherever you listen to audio. You will never run out of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts discussion as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you like this show, Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Only $9.99 a month if you sign up for a year or more. Sign up month to month, it's $10.99, but trust me, it's worth it. All of the audio that you get, you will never run out. Plus, not even talking about the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Figure Four Weekly, all of the other bonus stuff you get as a subscriber. It's a great place to go. If you're a wrestling fan and you're not signed up, I don't know what to tell you. I'd rather sign up for our website than the WWE Network, but that's just me. So, Mike, any other thoughts on War of the Worlds? I remember what I was going to say. Let me bring this up very quickly, then we can go on. I don't want to be like a... I feel bad sometimes when I'm negative about TNA. TNA has done nothing to rub me the wrong way this week. But, as noted, I was gone last week on a road trip, and not for one second did I go, man, I got to get back to watch Impact. Or, man, I got to find a hotel so I can watch Impact. Or, man, I got to make sure Impact recorded. I don't know what it is about Impact. I mean, it's an old joke that we've been saying for like 12 years, but it's true. Nothing on Impact ever has any impact. It's ironic. Nothing on this show ever has any impact. There's nothing where you feel, my God, I've missed something. I mean, honest to God, I left the Grand Canyon on Thursday morning. It's a 21-hour drive. I knew I was going to have to make two stops, most likely, and I wanted to make sure that I got home by 3 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, which I did, by the way. I got back at 3:02. I was off by 2 minutes. I got back at 3:02, so I had enough time to eat lunch and come home to watch the ROH pay-per-view. I literally scheduled my vacation return to make sure that I could get back in time to watch the ROH pay-per-view. I haven't even watched Impact. I forgot Impact was even on. Mike, I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here. What is it about this show where I don't care?
It's not really a very good show, and it's not buzzworthy, and they've lost more guys than they've gained, and the guys that they gained have, you know, some cases not been booked very well, and in other cases, they're just so nondescript it doesn't even matter, and that's pretty much it. It's unfortunate.
What can they do?
I don't know, because, you know, they brought back Bobby Lashley. There's only so many names out there you can bring in with the type of budget that you have. But I think, you know, they're in a tough spot. They want to be a entertainment company a la WWE, yet they should really be focusing on their athletic side more, not to the point that Ring of Honor does, but, you know, give reason of people to tune in and watch, and that it's not just going to be, you know, hokey comedy in the whole nine yards. I saw the Jay-Z Solange takeoff bit in the elevator that they did with Jeremy Borash, or I'm sorry, with Rockstar Spud portraying Jay-Z and Dixie Carter beating him up in the elevator. And it's like, could that time have been used to come up with something else that was going to be better and more focused upon the show? You know, I've never been the biggest fan in the world of the American Wolves or anything. Not that I hate them or anything like that, but it's like you have some guys that come in and should be buzzworthy, and they blew that. Magnus, the same way. I mean, why would they book him as a paper champion? He should have been booked strong after they got back from England and given people a reason to go, okay, this is our guy. This is one of our guys. And, you know, it just... they just don't give you a reason to tune in and watch. And that's, you know, too bad. It's a very missable show. And it's one of those shows that I guess it gets its same rating all the time anyway. So I guess those people are tuning in no matter what. So I guess if that's all that matters, that's all that matters. And you being disinterested in it isn't going to change anything.
Now, one thing that nobody, to my knowledge, has brought up is that lost in the announcement that WWE has signed with NBC Universal is the announcement, or lack of announcement, about a new TV deal for TNA. Their deal is up this fall, and the assumption was that the reason that a new deal had not been signed by now was because Spike TV might have been in negotiations to get the WWE franchise. Now, the WWE franchise is staying with NBC Universal. It is a done deal. They are staying on USA Network. And the question now is, when is the TNA deal going to be announced? It should be soon. There are a lot of guys worried about it. If I had been a talent, I would have been concerned, obviously, but I would have at least been of the understanding that, well, Spike probably is bidding. So there's not going to be any sort of announcement. I mean, it's very disconcerting that Spike is bidding, because if Spike gets WWE, there's going to be no home for TNA anymore on Spike TV. But that didn't happen. They've already announced their new deal. So the question is Impact going to be picked up? My gut tells me probably, but I don't know for sure. And I don't know if there are other networks out there that are looking for programming that's going to do 1 million viewers with poor ad rates, as all pro wrestling does, on a Thursday night or whatever. What do you think? Is TNA going to be re-signed? What are your Todd's odds?
I would think that they would be pretty good. I don't know how much value is on Spike in Viacom's grand scheme of things anyway. Obviously, they want it to be awful, and I assume that Impact is still one of their better ranked shows, and it's one of the only shows that they kick out money for in a large degree, I would think, since all of their other shows are repeated so often, your Bar Rescues and 1,000 Ways to Die and all that sort of stuff. If they don't mind spending the money, you might as well keep it on there. I mean, it's one of the, again, it's an 0.9, but it's an 0.9 that shows up every single week and that watches. It doesn't affect Spike at all. They're getting eyeballs and they're getting ratings. That's all they care about on a station that probably doesn't get very good ones. We're not talking about, shows doing, raw type numbers, let alone other type of numbers. They're not a highly rated network. So it gives them something to stand out and be a little bit special. That said, do they need to have it on there? No, I don't think the world doesn't stop turning and they'll just put a movie on in its place or something like that. So if they don't have the money for it, or they don't think it's, that money could be used somewhere else, then sure, TNA is an easy thing to drop. But I think if you have the money to blow on it, why not? You have at least something on there that makes you unique.
So this person says, I'm still really enjoying the network. They cannot roll it out all at once. Got to gradually roll out the older stuff. I guess that would be correct. Ed says they need to bring back TNT and do the Tonight Show gimmick on the network. John here says, how come there are no WWE Studios films on the network? Not even Scooby-Doo. Well, I think it's too early for Scooby-Doo. But I don't know why some of the older WWE Studios films aren't on the network.
Yeah, same way, unless, retransmission fees or rewrites with something else on there. But, yeah, any of that sort of stuff, even if it's something nobody wants to watch, like the Marine 3. Oh, which, by the way, apparently in the Marine 4, Summer Rae takes a thespian turn.
That's right. She's an actor in that film.
Her and Layla, look at the drama building there.
And what else do we have here? Larry says, WWE appear to be riding high off the heels of Mania, but every week since, slowly the negativity is back. That is how things work, usually, in the world we live in here, this internet wrestling world, or radio wrestling world. And the Scarlet Lover also noted something, which for some reason now I cannot find on my Twitter, even though I just read it a moment ago. Let me see if I can find it. Ah, here it is. The main point I was making was, what am I missing by not having the WWE Network? They could be producing a lot more. Yeah, they could. I that was the point I thought you were making. But yes, they should be putting a lot more on that network. And I don't know what I don't know. I guess I think the next 4 months is extremely important. I think that they need to be doubling up on specials. They need to plug it like crazy on Raw, these specials. They need to make the pay-per-views big time main event matches. They need to work on them as if they're as valuable as anything, because really this network, I don't know. I mean, I presume just based on our own business that the numbers are always slowly going to climb up, but I don't think they're going to hit 1 million by the end of the year. I don't even know if they're going to hit 850,000 by the end of the year. I think the growth will be slow from this point forward, unless you've got like a big time hook to get people to try the network, whether that's a big special event style match, whether that is a like a pay-per-view main event, whether that's a special.
They all do, of it, Brian. It's
any,
all
anything.
Of it.
New shows added, all of it. They got to do something. Back in just a moment, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment of the show. Don't forget, we replay tomorrow morning, Monday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, are you aware of who John Cena said his favorite WWE superstar was of all time?
I'm not quite sure.
Would you believe me if I said, I won't even say the guy's name. I will just read what John Cena says about this person, then let you guess.
All right.
He says, especially because of his entrepreneurial skills. Anyway, anytime he comes out, something serious, weird, or seriously weird is going to happen. I wrestled him in 2006. It was awful, but he knows how to entertain. Who's he talking about?
It sounds like Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon, Mike.
Is it really?
Is John Cena's favorite wrestler.
It can never be said John Cena is not a dumb guy.
Vince McMahon. It was awful.
Hey, look, John Cena's a bodybuilder. He always wanted to be a bodybuilder. He can look at Vince and look at Vince at his age and be impressed by that. And for all of those reasons why John Cena would pick Vince McMahon, go on with yourself, John Cena.
And what an entrepreneur Vince McMahon is as well. And we'll find out more about that tomorrow during the Investors Conference. We're out of time, everybody. Later on tonight, brand new live Brian and Vinny show. Check out WrestlingObserver.com. I'll tweet the time out on Twitter. It's probably going to be an earlier show tonight, probably around 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. It'll be up at F4WLive.com, so head up there and check that out. We're out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. All the folks at Sports Byline, Darren, Scott, Jerry, everybody else, thanks so much. Talk to you next week. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.